Today's scripture comes from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 1 to 8. Now the first covenant had regulations for worship and also an earthly sanctuary. A tabernacle was set up. In its first room were the lampstand and the table with its consecrated bread. This was called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a room called the most holy place, which had the golden altar of incense and the gold-covered ark of the covenant. This ark contained the gold jar of manna, Aaron's staff that had budded, and the stone tablets of the covenant. Above the ark were the cherubim of the glory, overshadowing the atonement cover, but we cannot discuss these things in detail now. When everything had been arranged like this, the priests entered regularly into the outer room to carry on their ministry. But only the high priest entered the inner room, and that only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins the people had committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit was showing by this that the way into the most holy place had not yet been disclosed as long as the first tabernacle was still functioning. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Good morning, church. Our church is very blessed that we have three worship services each Sunday. We have one, I count on this one at 8 o'clock, so don't complain that 9:30 is too early. And then English worship, and then there'll be Mandarin, another Cantonese one at 11:15. And each worship service is slightly different to tailor to the culture of each group. We at English, we tend to sing louder with less people. We're more efficient in singing. And our drum always loud compared to the other worships. So this, even though we have four different worships, sometimes the proceedings are a little bit different, but yet we are trying to provide a place where we can come and worship God. And this morning we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 9. And Hebrews chapter 9, the author is bringing us back to the tabernacle, the tent, the traveling. Today we will see as a traveling church, tabernacle, or the earthly sanctuary, as the author of Hebrew call it in verse 1. Now even with the first covenant, meaning the Old Testament, had regulations of divine worship, which we understand. We see that we worship God with our spirit, right? So we tend to focus on the spiritual worship, and sometimes we downplay all the other the physical part of worship, and we try to emphasize it's important that we worship God with our spirit, which is partly true. I'm going to go on to explain that. And the earthly sanctuary. Sanctuary here is referring to the tabernacle. Now, why did the author call it the earthly sanctuary? The word earthly here is cosmos. It's the same word that the Bible used in John chapter 3:16. For God so loved the cosmos, the world. This is the word cosmos. Earthly sanctuary. You mean this sanctuary is not spiritual? The tabernacle that we're going to look at is not spiritual? No. The word here, the term here describes earthly sanctuary is saying that because it's built by man on earth, on this physical earth. And even though it's designed by God, kind of like your iPhone designed in California, built in China. So this is designed by God, built on earth by Moses and the people. And it's not built by the angels. And it's using earthy materials like gold, silver, wood, sheepskin, goatskin, etc. So the author is saying that this tabernacle, earthly sanctuary, is located on the ground, and there's a time limit because everything will go away. As we know that today, we don't need to build a tabernacle, and even actually in the Old Testament time, later on, the tabernacle was replaced by a permanent building, the temple. And today we call this sanctuary. The tabernacle has a time limit. So why did God establish earthly, worldly sanctuaries who serve the sanctuary? The earthly sanctuary serve as a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. Even our sanctuary today, our church building, our worship service is a copy and a shadow of heavenly things to come. So for tabernacle, as we look back, we know that definitely it's not God's even ultimate worship facility. Otherwise, today we still have to have a tent, we still have to bring animal for sacrifice. Good that we don't do that because I'm not good in slaughtering animals and offering, making sacrifice at the front door. And then the author went on to describe, for there was a tabernacle prepared, the outer one, or some translation call it the holy one. This is the outer court, in which there which were the lampstand and the table and the sacred bed. This is called the holy place. So it's the holy place, or some translation, English translation, call it the sanctuary. And then behind the curtain, the veil, there was a tabernacle which is called the Holy of Holies, or the most holy place. So there are two compartments in this tent. Having a golden altar of incense and the Ark of the Covenant, covered on all sides with gold, in which was a golden jar holding the manna, and Aaron's rod which budded, and the tables of the covenant, and above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. But of these things we cannot now speak in details. Otherwise, you cannot go home by 11 o'clock. But keep on describing. Because the Bible gives a lot of details how to build this tabernacle, even the dimensions. As ones who grew up in the church, been attending Sunday school regularly, especially when you come to Dr. So's Sunday school at 11:15. He is an archaeologist, a theologian, Bible teacher. So you're going to talk about all these ancient Near East findings. Why did the author of Hebrews talk about the tabernacle, which is the most primitive form, way of worship? Because when the book of Hebrews was written, they already have the second temple being built. Why didn't he talk about the temple instead? And he went all the way back to talk about the tabernacles. So today when we talk about computer, we talk about AI, right? No one will talk about Fortran. You know what Fortran is? Only old people like me know what Fortran is, right? That's the language to do programming 50 years ago. That's a very primitive way of writing computer programs. Why did the author talk about tabernacles? That's so out of date. It's like talking about your dial telephone. We talk about iPhones. Because the author wants us, bring us back to the very first, the very primitive, the very original idea of spiritual worship. He brought us all the way back to the basic. The form may have changed, but the value, the meaning has not changed. Wow, that's scary. You mean next week we start bringing animals to the church? Well, we'll see. God himself designed the church, and he's giving us a pattern of worship. The tabernacle, the greatest purpose of the tabernacle is for us to meet God. God wants to dwell within his people. Exodus 29, 32. It shall be a, God explaining why he wanted his people to build a place of worship. It shall be a continual burnt offerings. That means you actually burn it. It's not a barbecue shop. You don't get to eat it. You burn it. Burnt offering throughout your generation at the doorway of the tent. So the very first step you entered in the tent is offering. Burnt offering. Throughout your generations at the doorway of the tent of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet with you to speak to you. Wow. This is beyond imagination in the Old Testament time. The Almighty God wants to meet with you. And he wants to speak to you. Wow, who are you? Who am I? God wants to speak to you. Let them construct a sanctuary, a tabernacle for me, that I may dwell among them. So this idea of God being with us is not just in the New Testament. Sometimes you think that the God in the Old Testament seems to be a totally different God. He's so mean, so strict, and so mighty. And then in the New Testament, there seems to be a different God, Jesus, so soft, love, friendly. No, God is the same God in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Because God wants to dwell among his people. This idea was even in the Old Testament. But except that in the Old Testament, the salvation is not completed yet. So God, man cannot reconcile, connect with God directly. Worship is not according to one's own will. It's not how we want to worship God. We need to follow God's instructions, God's methods. So in the Old Testament, what's the purpose of the burnt offering, the sacrifice? It's not to cleanse, to remove your sin. For on this day, he will make atonement for you, to cleanse you from all your iniquities. Make atonement. The word atonement meaning cover, is to cover, not to cleanse, to cover your sins so that God temporarily forgive you or pretend not to see your iniquities, your sins. So the word atonement is to cover, temporary. Now, when these things have been so prepared, the priests are continually entering the outer tabernacle, performing the divine worship. That's the first place of worship. Sanctuary, the holy place, and then there is the Holy of the Holies, or some translation call it the most holy place, the second compartment of this tent. But into the second, only the high priest enters once a year, not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the sins of the people committed in ignorance. Once a year, only once a year, And only the high priest, only one person, can enter into the most holy place. And that's where God is. The Ark of the Covenant, representing God's presence. Wow, can you imagine? Once a year, you come to church, and most of the time, you don't even need to, you cannot even come to the sanctuary. Only the pastors come in for you. And you have to stay in the parking lot, making all the offerings. And only once a year, the senior pastor can represent all the pastors and all the people, all 650 of us, and go and meet God face to face. Wow. What a challenge. Because the curtain, the view, is blocking people, keeping people on the outside. But they still come to worship. They still come and pay their offerings. But it's only the priest can represent, take their offering to meet God. And only the high priest, senior pastor, the lead pastor, can meet God only once a year. Wow, this is so demanding. Because the road is not open yet. People are still outside the most holy place. The Holy Spirit is signifying that because this is temporary, and this is, we are presenting the time to come. The world is not totally built yet. And all this is pointing to the coming of the Messiah, the ultimate sacrifice. And all these procedures, today we look at all these requirements, just to go to the outside of the sanctuary is incredible. People to travel in the days of in the temple was built, people have to travel days to go to Jerusalem, to go to the temple. And then they have to carry animals or to buy animals there for sacrifice. And then they have to wait there for the animals to be prepared. And all this is very graphic, isn't it? Can you imagine? You go to church, the parking lot is full of blood of all these animals. It's so gross. And why is such a graphic requirement? Because God want the people of Israel, want his people to have a graphic picture in his mind. With sin, you cannot come to meet God. Even God is love. He is so open. And God has not changed today. Even some of the churches teaching something slightly different, easier to sell. We don't like to talk about sins. We don't like to talk about judgment. People do not like to hear that. Today, we need to package the gospel. God is love. We forgive everything. We accommodate everything. Even the Bible clearly stated that this is not acceptable to God. We accommodate because we want people to come, which is true. We want people to come, but we cannot cheap sell God's gospel. And God make this so graphic because he wants his people to remember when something is graphic, slaughtering animals, there's blood everywhere, burning of sacrifice. You can smell it. You can see the smoke like in Vancouver. Right? You can feel the smoke in the air so that you always remember with sin, you cannot come to God. You need to have your sin forgiven. And I can have a think of a good illustration here. I don't smoke. I don't imagine having most of you don't smoke. And I just found this on the internet. And a cigarette package, now they're forced to put label and graphic pictures on it smoking cigarette can cause neck cancer. Oh, that is gross when I look at this, prepare this. And then each cigarette have to print on it, it is bad for your health. And then cigarettes kills baby. Wow, if you don't think that's more worth it enough. Look at your teeth, you have gum disease. And do you think all these graphic pictures on the cigarette package would help? Absolutely, absolutely. And those gross graphic warnings on cigarette labels, yes, this is a study in Australia. The study showed that they actually work. God wants his people to have a graphic image in his mind that you need to have your sins repented before you can come to him. The tabernacle of meeting is a spiritual school. It's to train his people how you can come to meet God. Has this changed after thousands of years? Aren't we in an era of love and grace rather than judgment? So today we tend to make our gospel a little bit easier to sell. We don't like to talk about things that will offend people. But God has not changed. The method may have changed, but the idea, the spiritual worship, the value has not changed. And all the restriction is saying that God is a holy God. It's not an ordinary God. God it is your big brother, but he is also one day will be your judge. He's righteous. He's holy. How can we then meet God? The Holy Spirit is signifying this, that the way into the holy place has not yet been disclosed, while the outer tabernacle is still standing, which is a symbol for the present time. Accordingly, both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make the worshiper perfect in conscience, despite the slaughtering of all these animals. We are still not ready to meet God face to face. Since they relate only to food and drink and various washings, regulations for the body imposed until a time of reformation. The whole tabernacle is to bring us step by step from entering into this tent, the outer court, the very first prerequisites, requirement, the very first step is like playing those competition games. The very step you have to pass is the atonement, the altar of sacrifice. And then step by step by step, you walk to the most holy place. That's where God is. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not the earthly tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, and through his own blood. He entered the holy place once for all. In the tabernacle time, they can only enter the most holy place once a year. Now Jesus entered once for all, having obtained eternal redemption, that you no longer, today, we no longer have to bring animals for sacrifice, because Jesus fulfilled all these prophecies, all the images. Jesus is the realization of the images. The altar, Christ is our ultimate sacrifice. The brazen laver, Christ is our cleaning. The golden candlesticks, which represents prayer. Jesus represents light. Jesus is our light. The author of incense, Jesus is our intercessor. He prays, he is praying for us today, right at this moment. The curtain, the separating man, people from God, is now torn apart. Christ gave us the pass. He gave us the QR code. We can scan the QR code. Now in the airport, you don't need to carry your ticket. Everything is, you scan your QR code. Christ gave us the QR code. We scan the QR code from Christ. We can enter into the most holy place. Wow. Hallelujah. A new era has begun. For this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant. Today, we are in a new covenant, so that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, the Old Testament time, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Now we don't have to stay outside. We can enter with the QR code of Jesus. We can enter into the most holy place. Hallelujah. Life is so much easier today, isn't it? You can sleep until 9:15 if you live a few houses from church. Actually, someone from our congregation, he only lives a few houses, few blocks from church. You don't have to travel miles and miles. You can enter into not only the sanctuary, not only the parking lot, you can enter into the most holy place. Just like that, you don't even need your pastors. You don't definitely don't need your senior pastors. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. So don't stay outside. What do you mean I'm staying outside? I'm inside now. We're all sitting here. What do you mean I'm staying outside? You're inside. Or are you? Worship is, attending worship is easy today, especially in Canada. Today, we still have a high degree of freedom of religion here. You can come and leave as you wish. You can come easily, not like in the tabernacle time or in the Old Testament time. You can come to worship easily. But sadly, not all Christians take this privilege. Sometimes when it's raining, pouring rain, when I'm driving to church early in the morning, then I would talk to Cynthia. I think there'll be less people this morning. And then God said, why would there be less people this morning? That's because it's a pouring rain. Why would there be less people? Well, I don't know. It's just that it's raining. People will go on Zoom. Why are there less people? Why? God said that. If that's raining, at work, would you expect less people to come? Absolutely not. But we take it for granted. We no longer see the significance, the importance. We no longer like in the Old Testament that they sacrifice a lot of time, money, buying the animals to come to just to stay outside of the holy place. Today we can come in here free. I don't know, we don't know if you make any offering to God, but yet we do not take this opportunity, this grace, seriously. And even when we come to church regularly, we no longer see God as our ultimate future judge. We rely his love, but we do not take him seriously, not like in the Old Testament. You have to follow step by step exactly as God instructed before you can come to the outside of the holy place. We come here. Well, it's good that you come to worship, but we do not sometimes take worshiping God serious enough. Because we come to him without repentance. When I prepare this message, this seems to be talking about some old things that seems to be not relevant to us. The way of worshiping has changed, but the spiritual worship part has not changed. Today, God expects us exactly like the time of the tabernacle. That's why the author is going all the way back to Moses' time and teach his audience, which are second-gen Jewish Christians. They were under persecutions. The author reminded them, he went all the way back because the significance of spiritual worship has not changed. So when I prepare this message, in my mind, I have this picture. It must be a very noisy tabernacle, a church of play, of worship, because I can hear all the animals, the goats, the cows. Can you imagine you're trying to slaughter the animal there? Oh, it must be bloody, really smelly. There were a lot of people running around. People want to cut in the line, and they want to get in first. I don't know if they have a good reservation system here. You know, you go there and scan the code, and you come back 2 days, and then it's your turn. No? There must be a lot of animals lying up, people lying up, people running around. It must be really smelly, probably not very hygiene. Right? I don't want to stay there too long. Right? There's no refrigerator there. Right? It's a really messy, noisy place. And then surrounding the tabernacle, there are tents, people are living there. Right? It's like a little city. A lot of people around. So you can imagine this is a really noisy, crowded place. People talking, maybe even yelling because we don't have a PA system. No, now it's your turn, number 456. Come to the front. You're ready now. Can you imagine? It's very noisy. But yet, in the holy place, there's silence, quietness. Because people cannot go inside. Only the priests can go in there to ask for forgiveness for his people, to pray. It's a really quiet place. Despite outside is like a Richmond night market, thousands of people shouting, maybe even eating. Well, you're allowed, depends on what kind of offering you're making. You're allowed to eat the meat. Very noisy place. And in behind the curtain, the veil, behind this curtain, the most holy place, that's where God is absolute silence. You probably hear the drop of a pin. Because only once a year, the high priest can enter into the presence of the holy and almighty God. So when I picture this in my mind, I think of us today. Actually, this week, On Friday, you probably saw me wearing a red t-shirt in my runners running around in the church because it's the last day of the week one of the kids camp. So there were 50 kids plus 20 youth, young leaders. They're all running around in church for the kids camp for this week. So I given a red t-shirt. I don't know what to do with it afterwards. So red t-shirt, unless I work for PNE or something. So a lot of kids running around, it's so exciting this past week, you know. And then Friday night, there's lots of fellowships here, and the Cantonese fellowships, and the Pathfinders, Connors, and everybody, teens, the meeting. There's a lot of excitement. This morning, the church is also full of people. There are more people coming after this worship. The Cantonese worship, this will be all packed in the Sunday school. And sometimes our church life is like that. But that's good. And we need to involve, take part in ministries, worship practice, worship teams, serving. We need all this. But brothers and sisters, let's be careful. Let's be careful that we are not just busy, noisy, and we missed the most holy place. In the Old Testament, in the tabernacle time, they cannot enter into the most holy place because the salvation is not completed yet. Jesus has not died for our sins yet. But today, the curtain is removed. It's torn apart. We are given a QR code. But are you still staying outside? This morning you come to church. You come to worship, which is excellent. God appreciates that. But did you meet God this morning? This past week, you're preparing your Sunday school material. You're preparing your sermons. You're preparing your fellowship material. You're very busy leading kids camp, but did you meet God this past week, this past month? You have done a lot of things for the church. You are really, really busy, but did you enter into God's presence? Or you missed the entrance and went home? Or you came thinking that I have already met God, but yet you realize that God wasn't there to meet you because of your sins. Moses, God told Moses, I'm going to guide you, I'm going to help you, I'm going to lead you. And Moses said to God, it's good that you're going to help me, you're going to send the cloud before me, the fire, the pillars to lead me, angels, all those are good, but I need you to be with me. Moses said to God, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. If you're not coming with us, with me, I don't want to go. Today, ministry is good, but if you are doing all by yourself without God, you better rethink. And you need to repent. What is separating us from God? Things has not changed after thousands of years. In the tabernacle time, it is people's sins that God do not want to meet his people. The very first step when you go into the tabernacle is offering, burn offering of sacrifice. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offer himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. It is our sin today. We come to church, we even worship him, we even serve him, but it is your sins that is behind you. It's your sins that keep you outside the most holy place. Things has not changed. in the Old Testament, the tabernacle time, the very first step you walk into the tabernacle tent, you need to offer sacrifice to have your sins covered. Today, we have Jesus. We can have our sins forgiven. To come to God every moment, we need to repent. Repent, meaning not just to feel sorry. Repent, meaning you turn away. Metanoia, 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 the word Greek, repent, meaning a complete 180-degree shift in a person's mindset, trajectory, and loyalty. We need to repent, just like in the tabernacle. God's requirement for us to meet him has not changed it, except that today we are in a time of grace. We don't need to bring animals. We don't make sacrifice, but need to come to him through Christ. Do not stay outside. Don't let the noise, the people, the environment blind you. You need to come to this quiet place where God is, the most holy place. God's will is for us to be with him. And this was in the Old Testament time. This is in today's time. And this is in the future. Revelation 21:3. Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them. He's talking about the future. And they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. Nothing has changed. Don't stay outside. Enter into God's presence. Let's pray. Father God, help all of us today to learn from the tabernacle time that we need to repent through you, and we need to keep our eyes focused on you, not just our ministry. Help us to enter into the most holy place and meet you face to face. We pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.